day, guys, you know, you can never truly know, right, what the other person is truly going through, what they're truly thinking about, what they're feeling, until you are really in their shoes, right? Until you seek out to genuinely know their story and truly know what is going on in their life, right? So a lot can be going on in their life that you know nothing about, even if that person could be someone that you are extremely, extremely close to. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another soulful episode on the Good Life Podcast with me, Noor.
And me, Mizi Wahid.
Thank you so much for being here with us on another episode. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to this episode week after week. You know, we truly do appreciate your commitment to yourself, to your beautiful self-discovery journey.
Yes, indeed. And please subscribe on Spotify if you've not done that, or on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We would truly appreciate that. Plus, share with your friends about us. If this is something that they would benefit from, let them know about us. We'll also be so grateful for that gesture.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can't wait to be talking about, you know, today's episode. And that is going to be, you know, on assumptions.
Yep. So I guess we all assume, and this is one of the biggest mistakes that most of us make without realizing. We either think we know too much, or we either think we can read people's minds. These are things that actually cause relationships to go south. And so, you know, this is a very important topic, and and we hope you're going to benefit from it, inshallah.
Absolutely. And the thing with assumptions is that it is often done unconsciously, right? It is often done unconsciously. And, you know, basically what an assumption is that it is telling yourself that, you know, something is true without actually having evidence that it is, right? So this is where you tend to make up stories in your head about, you know, people, about the things around you, and then you actually act as if they were true.
Yeah, it affects your feelings, you know, it messes with your mind. Because once you begin to assume just one fact, it results in you know, a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. You know, many more thoughts start to arise that are equally untrue. And so that's why we need to be very careful. Then we may start to have a lousy day.
Yeah.
We start to not enjoy the week we have because of an assumption that we had about something or something someone said. You know, sometimes people can be so explicit in front of you and tell you something, but somehow in your head, you're assuming something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we assume a lot, I think this is something that we need to realize, and then how, you know, try to see if we can improve ourselves.
Absolutely. And the thing with assumptions is that it becomes this reference point, like an operating system in which your very thoughts, your feelings, and the kind of behaviors that you engage in, it manifests from the assumptions that you have in place, right? And in some ways, the brain is designed to make assumptions. It makes assumptions because it has been, you know, designed to search for patterns, right? Or what cognitive scientists would call mental models, right? So mental models are essentially an explanation in our minds on how something works. And we rely a whole lot on these mental models in order to make our lives, you know, more efficient.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's also to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking around the corner and you hear the sound of a vehicle approaching, you assume that there's a car or a motorcycle that's nearby.
Yeah.
And that's really just to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
When you're walking back home on your own, right, late at night, and you see a shadow, you know, and your mind starts to assume there's somebody behind me. I need to be mindful of myself. I need to, you know, watch out. What if somebody's trying to attack me? You know, it's assumptions are, like what you said, it's innate in all of us. But I guess there are some benefits to it as well. We just need to know when to use it properly and when to not assume too much.
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to be conscious and aware when these assumptions that we keep having then tend to influence and impact our quality of life, right? If it's something that is in place that helps to protect us in a good way, then by all means, rely on those assumptions, mental models. But if it's something that you keep on, you know, having, and you see that it permeates negatively in the various aspects in your relationship, then that is when, you know, it is really time for you to evaluate the kind of assumptions, default, you know, thinking patterns that you tend to go into, right? So many of these assumptions, they are actually learned behavior. You know, they come from our culture, our families that we have been immersed in for the longest time. They come from what we were taught to think as a child. You know, it's very intriguing and interesting, right? As a child, we have been, you know, exposed to a multitude of cues, both verbal, non-verbal cues. We pick up all these cues, and from there, you know, we make sense of it, right? We absorb all these data from all around us. And then we are constantly making sense of that data. And then it turns into what we have today, right? Our belief system, our value system, and one which affects every single thought, feeling, and behavior we see today. And the things that we think, that we feel, that we do, they're all based on our assumptions, right? Based on, you know, what, you know, we think we should do, what we shouldn't do, based on what we should think, not think. So I think it is really important for us to see the magnitude of, you know, the role of assumptions in our lives.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think another thing, Noor, that we, growing up as Asians, we noticed how we were brought up in our traditional settings and the common messages our parents send us, whether they are directly delivered to us or whether these are things that we picked up as children, you know, the need to always be perfect, the need to always be free from any mistakes and errors. And so you have to do everything with exceptional standards, and anything less than that is unacceptable. Or the very common thing that I guess many of us are familiar with, when someone just tells you to be strong. And, you know, they assume that whatever burden the person is going through is something that is bearable, that is easy. Well, I think I personally believe that whatever test we've been given is within our means. But sometimes it's just not the right thing to say at the right time. And I think this is us just simply assuming that, oh, because I can do it, so you can do it too. We have different thresholds when it comes to pain and tests and setbacks and all of that. So let's be careful with all of that and try to assume less and try to empathize more instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, you know, messages, you know, some of the other also common ones that I see people tend to actually bring forward in their adulthood is this messaging of try hard, right? So this is where they find themselves trying out, you know, a whole lot of things because they have been conditioned to try, no matter what, you need to give it a shot, to the point that they burn out, to the point that they feel exhausted. So this is where, you know, they find that they are in a phase of their in their lives where they either get bored very easily, or they, you know, they engage in all these projects, but then they just kind of like, you know, give up halfway through, right? So that's one common messaging. Another one that I can think of is be pleasing. So you get a lot of, you know, people pleasing behavior, people engaging that sort of behavior because they have been taught as a kid that in order for you to be seen as socially acceptable and to be seen as okay, you need to make sure that there is peace around you. You need to do what it takes to make sure that the people around you, you know, they are happy first, right? So you have learned to put other people's needs before your own needs. And so when you grow up, you tend to dismiss your own needs. You tend to think that, oh, okay, you know, I feel as though this is important to me, but, you know, I need to make sure that other people's feelings and needs are met first. Then only then, you know, when I do have the time, when I do have the resources, then, okay, maybe I can, you know, look into it. Right? So, you know, all these things that we keep hearing, right? So be strong. You got to be perfect. You got to try hard. You got to be pleasing, right? Be a people pleaser. These are what we term, in psychology, drivers. And drivers, they will tell you a whole lot about the way you see the world and give you an insight into the type of childhood that you might have been exposed to.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talk about drivers in my interaction with my clients in just the first session, based on the type of problems they share and how they narrate their life story, it is so easy to pick up on their drivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them as early as the first 5 minutes. Yeah. And these are important information for me personally, as it allows me to see how I can better help them based on their personality profile.
Yeah.
So what we learned as a kid affects the type of assumptions we end up making about everything. It affects how we approach relationships. It affects how we also deal with conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we can see how, you know, assumptions play a huge role in terms of, you know, how we go about processing things, right? And there are a whole lot of reasons as to why having, you know, unhealthy assumptions are really not good for you. Because when we, you know, often judge people so quickly, or we judge ourselves too quickly or too subjectively, you know, we create these stories which are far from the truth. Mm. And when we keep doing that, we keep telling ourselves what we think we know, which is only part of the story. It's only part of the story. And when you only have part of the story, it is hard for you to make a logical, objective decision. You end up making emotional decisions, decisions that often leave you feeling regretful and a whole lot of shame, a whole lot of guilt.
Are you struggling to heal from the pain of your past? Do you find yourself painfully moving through life, feeling unsatisfied and unhappy? If you are feeling this way, you don't have to continue living life this way. If you're looking to seek for professional help to guide you through your challenges, drop us an email at info@thegoodlifepodcast.live. That's live with a L-I-V-E. Or you can submit your application form found on our Instagram profile page at thegoodlife_podcast. Remember that you don't have to go through this alone, and that a better life, it's only an inquiry away. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, and so our perceptions and biases, like what you said, will eventually take control of our reality. We stop seeing the actual reality and start living a life of illusion and fantasy. We deny ourselves a life of fulfillment because we are so distracted by a different reality and a different world, the one that plays in our head.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think because of that, that is what keeps us stuck, right? It keeps us stuck in the past. And we deny ourselves the ability to be in the present, right? Because assumptions, they rely on old information, you know, to help you fill in the blanks and to connect the dots. So instead of expanding your horizons, what assumptions, unhealthy assumptions, they do is that it retreats you into your past, into your painful past more often than not. And so what we would like to do for this episode is to share with you, you know, some of the common unhealthy assumption patterns that, you know, we tend to go into unconsciously that really affects the quality of our lives and also the people around us, right? So let's get into it. So assumption number one is assuming people can read your mind. So I think this is a pretty common, huge thing.
I think a lot of marriages have ended because of this.
Yeah, so I thought you knew this. I thought you knew.
You should have known.
Yeah, you should have known better, man. You're my husband. You're my wife. What are you doing all this time? Right? So the thing is that over 90% of our conversations are actually with ourselves and in our minds, right? And when we continue fooling ourselves into believing that, you know, everybody, you know, understands us in the same way, everybody should understand us in the same way, it results in more and more of those words being lost in translation, right? It results in more and more miscommunication and more, you know, of these unresolved conflicts that I don't know, it leaves a whole lot of resentment in the relationship.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems that we all have. some of us, we get upset because our partner doesn't understand what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we assume that they should know or they would know. And the reason why we do that is because we have made it normal for ourselves to assume what other people are thinking in their heads.
Mm.
So we expect people to understand in the same way.
Yeah. I was thinking, do you think it comes from a place of self-entitlement?
Yeah. I think partly it's that, but also sometimes it's because you've known me for so long, you should know.
Which again
is not something that you can begin to expect totally. Of course, it's nice sometimes when you read about some people or you watch videos about somebody who's been married for 30 years and it's almost telepathy, right? They can, I can guess. Even when by the wink of an eye, I know what you mean by that. When you wiggle your nose, I know what it means. But you know, it's not with everyone. And so don't expect it to be with everyone in your life.
Yeah. And I think with those kind of relationships that you're talking about, you know, I can read your mind before you even say it. You know, those kind of relationships, they all start from somewhere. It's not like they just started, boom, you know, I can read your mind, girl, you know. So I feel that we, again, need to do that reality check, you know, in terms of understanding, okay, you know, this is my goal in my relationship. I want to be in a relationship where we have that mutual understanding, where we are able to really get each other well. But for us to be able to reach there, we need to go through that process of, you know, being comfortable in sharing our opinions, our emotions with each other, right? So it needs to start from somewhere.
Yep, absolutely. So the next assumption is assuming the problem will go away by doing nothing about the problem. Okay, I'm sorry if this hit you right on the head, but, you know, I think we all sometimes get into this situation.
Yeah.
A state of denial. Yeah? Being in a state of denial can be extremely dangerous when people refuse to see that there is a serious or even a life-threatening problem.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I remember the story of a family where there was complete denial about alcohol addiction going in a family. The husband was an alcoholic, came back drunk, skipped work, jumped from one job to another, emotionally not present with his kids and wife. And it keeps being that way for many, many years because any discussion of his addiction problem was made taboo.
Mm.
Everyone was living in fear. They were just hoping he would change one day and that the addiction would magically just disappear. And the thing we know about addiction is that it won't. Addiction without proper treatment and support and rehabilitation, it won't get any better.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens is the family members living in that dysfunction will start to learn to adapt to that dysfunction. They will start to learn to be experts at behaving with great politeness in order to prevent any form of conflict, walking on eggshells, never daring to step on one another's toes.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing of importance ever becomes acknowledged, let alone worked through.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, the issue of addiction in families.
Mm.
A lot of times people tend to think that, you know, addiction is only an individual affair, but it's not. You know, it is a family affair. It affects everybody around the person who is going through addiction.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've learned is that there is a difference between enabling and supporting, right? You know, especially, you know, caregivers, they tend to confuse between supporting and enabling, thinking that whatever they're doing right now is supporting the person, but they're actually just enabling, you know, and allowing that addiction behavior to continue. Like, for example, this huge assumption, right? By assuming that, you know, the problem would just magically go away, wishing it would go away and not recognizing the significance of the problem, but by not recognizing that there is a huge problem that is, you know, affecting the family, right? So when they actually go into this mode of not, you know, seeking proper treatment to, you know, usually in such cases, you know, in addictions and everything, what I often see is that, you know, the voices of the people around them, the loved ones are often silenced. They're often put in a position to, you know, keep their mouth shut. right? To not, you know, share the family secrets. Because if you were to maybe share it with someone that, hey, perhaps my spouse is, you know, going through addiction, it might be seen as, oh, you are shaming your own family. Why are you doing this? You know, you're seen as, you know, a disobedient spouse, right? So they're often being put in a position to just keep all these secrets to themselves and not share it with people who can actually potentially help them. And so it continues, that cycle continues where people, they're just caught in the cycle of like keeping the secrets and letting and enabling that addiction behavior to continue. But it stops. It stops when, you know, you start to see that this is in fact a problem. You start to do things differently when you see that this is truly not affecting just that person who's going addiction, but you as well, and potentially your kids as well, right?
Yeah. And another, you know, angle of assuming the problem will go away is can be purely personal. The examples we gave were about interpersonal relationships, family and so on. But it could also be yours alone. Like if you have a huge amount of debt that you've had to pay, and you're pretending that, you know, it's not really there, or maybe when it's time for me to pay, somehow a miracle would happen and all the money would just suddenly magically appear in my bank account and I'll have enough, so I don't have to worry. Or maybe it's an illness, like you're starting to feel chest pains and you're like, oh, I think I'm fine, I don't need to work out, I don't need to watch my eating, I don't need to quit smoking, I'm fine. You know, to me that's also assuming, you're just assuming that everything's just gonna go away, all the illnesses, all the insurmountable debt. You know, it just doesn't work that way, guys. So if you have a problem, address it, confront it, fix it, get help, and not just leave it like that.
Yeah, totally. Let's go into assumption number three, right? Assumption number three is assuming everything is about you. So, you know, this is where you start making everything about you. One where you obsess over rejections. You start ruminating excessively on what could have been done differently. And you actually start seeing everything negative that comes your way as, you know, a form of personal attack. And you don't really have that healthy space to see things objectively, right? So the really unhealthy thing about this assumption is that most of that disappointment or poor interaction that you encounter, you know, it's not actually about you. You know, for example, when you encounter an angsty driver on the road, you know, who was probably impatient to you and who just like overtook you, right? That person could have had a really bad day. You know, that person might be on their way rushing to some emergency, right?
Yeah, right, Nora, except when I'm the one driving and I'm like, oh man, this is just a horrible driver.
But yeah, I think it's natural for us to be like, oh my god, what a...
We never assume that the person is in an emergency, right?
No.
It's almost like that.
No.
Yeah.
I think the mind doesn't gravitate towards, oh, you know, maybe he's having a bad day.
Well, maybe he's having a bad stomach ache or something.
We probably go like, oh my god, what a douche. Like, what? How could he do something like that, right? So, another example that I could think of would be, like, for example, if a person said, you know, thank you to you, you know, thank you. And then the person on the other end did not reply it with, you're welcome. So that could possibly be maybe the person really didn't hear it. Especially now, you know, with us wearing masks, it's hard. You know, I find myself, you know, sometimes at shops, I'm like, thank you. And then I don't hear anything. Yeah. It can be a bit hurtful, but I just tell myself, okay, maybe, you know, behind, you know, the mask, it kind of gets the voice all muffled and a lot of the sound energy levels is kind of like lost along the way.
Yeah.
Right, so giving people the benefit of the doubt. Or another thing, if, you know, someone doesn't reply you immediately, that person could be dealing with something, you know, they could be dealing with their own personal issues. So there could be a million and one reasons as to why someone did not respond in a way that you want them to. At the end of the day, we do have that choice in terms of what benefit of the doubt that you want to give them, right? Either we want to be like, oh my God, you know, choose the very uncompassionate, the unforgiving sort of path and choose to think very negatively about them, which then, mind you, it actually then affects you. Right? You think negatively about them, but then it affects you negatively because you start thinking all these negative thoughts about not just there, maybe about maybe your past experience that triggered that negative thought as well. So it's like bringing you down this rabbit hole. So you either got that option of thinking totally negatively, focusing negatively, or there is the, okay, maybe perhaps, you know, the maybe perhaps could really start to shift your energy from the, oh my God, I feel so tense, it's so stressful, why did he do this to me, to, okay, abundance, zen.
Yeah. So everything that you just said, Noor, all the examples you gave, is actually, to me, it's very aligned to my own values and principles. Mm-hmm. You know, as a Muslim, I know that in the Quran, God says that, you know, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, which means stay away from much assumption. Mm-hmm. فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ, because much of assumption is sinful. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're most likely to get it wrong.
Mm.
And that's why we are told to stay away from it. So everything that you just said is absolutely spot on. You know, it's consistent with what we have been taught. And we should all practice, you know, in the small ways. Starting from when you're driving on the road.
Yeah, starting from that.
And if you can succeed there, then maybe you'll get better.
Inshallah. Yeah, so at the end of the day, guys, you know, you can never truly know, right, what the other person is truly going through, what they're truly thinking about, what they're feeling, until you are really in their shoes, right? Until you seek out to genuinely know their story and truly know what is going on in their life, right? So a lot can be going on in their life that you know nothing about, even if that person could be someone that you are extremely, extremely close to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, we've heard plentiful news of celebrities who took their own lives, whose lives, you know, on social media seem oh so perfect, right? They look so happy on the outside. But, you know, after the suicide, you realize after their death, you realize that, hey, they weren't happy after all. They were just putting on this mask for the world to see that they are okay, you know, that they are fine. But in fact, they're not, right? So I think it is important for us to take this moment to really think about all those times that we tend to, like, you know, just jump to conclusions, making all these unhealthy, negative assumptions about people and even about ourselves, right? You know, victimizing ourselves and coming up with all these, you know, 1,000,001 ways in terms of how the world is against you, right? Because, you know, these thoughts, they all build up. They don't magically go away. It builds up and it creates the resentment that you feel inside of you. And we all know what toxicity in our body does to ourselves. It really eats up, you know, the insights. It erodes every part of us, our self-confidence, our worth, our self-esteem, right? And, you know, that is something that we want to avoid, right? We don't want to go down that path that makes us feel that way towards ourselves and the people around us.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Now we move on to assumption number four.
Mm-hmm.
And assumption number four is that we need to stop assuming that the happiest people are the ones who simply smile the most. Because a smile, like what Noor said earlier with regards to the celebrities and all, does not always equate to happiness within. But it's not just the celebrities, it's every one of us.
Yeah.
You know, one of the tweets that I made, that I pinned since 2018, has to do something with this. And I said that don't assume that, you know, anyone who looks okay is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially it. And I give examples of your classmate who never misses class, or your child who never complains, or your neighbor who always greets you in the morning with a smile. Like, it doesn't mean that everything's okay. So don't always assume that everyone's okay just because they put up a front, you know. I mean, it's good to think well of them. It's good to think that they're doing okay. But don't be surprised if they suddenly confess to you and tell you that they need to talk. They need someone to talk to because they're going through a very difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. Behind, you know, those polite smiles or greetings that they tend to give you, they might actually be really hurting and be feeling really lonely right now, right? Behind the, hey, you know, I am good or I am fine replies, they might actually be going through major, major stuff in their lives right now. And the thing with, you know, emotional pain is we can't see it. we can't see it. We can't see people's pain because, you know, people are often very good at masking pain, right? So I think instead of actually assuming that people are okay all the time, I think it's important for us to show that, you know, they matter. Don't assume that they are perfectly okay. And what I find is that I think a lot of the happiest and strongest friends that, you know, I tend to know, they are usually the ones that, you know, need more of that compassion and kindness because they are the ones that tend to feel as though, okay, you know, I need to be the strong one. I need to be strong for myself. I need to be strong for the people around me. And so they tend to hold in a whole lot. They tend to bottle up a whole lot and suppress a whole lot.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, if you've always been the strongest sibling in the family, it's almost as if you don't have the right to actually show your vulnerable side.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a family gathering, and no matter how difficult the pain is that you're having to endure, you try to endure on your own.
Yeah.
You tell everyone everything's okay, even though you're not. You know, it's hard when you have been the hardest member in your team, strongest one in your team, always leading the way, always being the one that everyone comes to share about their challenges. But you realize that you don't have anyone to talk to. It's difficult because everyone just assumes, and you find yourself in this default setting where you're always having to be positive, you're always having to smile, you always have to be strong and not be affected by situations. And it's just hard.
Yeah. And I think it is a very lonely, lonely journey to be on when you find yourself in a situation where you have to put on this front where, you know, you just don't feel as though you're that particular person in that particular moment, right? So let's move on to assumption number 5. And that is, we need to stop assuming that other people see us as we see ourselves, right? Because when you've been living life feeling, you know, for example, insecure, self-centered, or putting on a mask for the world to see, you tend to start assuming that other people will start to think the way you think, see the way you see, feel the way you feel, and even judge the way you judge, right? So you assume that everybody is one, like we all are the same, but we are not the same. We all come from unique backgrounds. And because of that, we form unique belief systems, unique perspectives, and therefore we are not the same, even though it's same, but you know, it's different, you guys. Right? So I think this is the biggest assumption that humans tend to make about themselves. And this is why it tends to lead us to have this fear of being ourselves around other people, because we think that, you know, if right now we feel as though we are like judging ourselves, we then feel that, oh my God, other people's going to also be judging me. Other people's also going to be very critical and very harsh on me. They're going to abuse me. They're going to treat me badly. They're going to disappoint me, right? So before, you know, others even have a chance to show their true selves or to reject us or whatever, we engage in things that get us rejected first, right? We engage in these self-defeating thought patterns and behaviors that keep reminding ourselves that we are not worthy, we are not good enough, that we will forever be abandoned and alone.
Yeah. And as the famous saying goes, you are your own worst critic. You're always going against yourself for some strange reason. When you look at a photo of you and your classmates and you and your best friends, the first face you look at is yours. And the first thing you notice is every blemish, not every blessing. And that's just a habit that we've all gotten used to, and it's not good. And so it is important that we allow ourselves to practice a little more compassion for ourselves as well as for others. We are all going through our own unique pains and losses. We are all going through different things. And we put on our brave faces every morning, followed by our mask, even when we feel like life is not worth living.
Yeah.
So we all cope with pain differently, and we all navigate through life differently. So let us be kind to one another.
Absolutely. Right. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, those body shamers, people who tend to shame people who look a certain way or are not aligned to what, you know, you tend to see in the magazines. And when you think about it, you know, these are the kinds of people who probably aren't very happy with themselves in terms of how they look, right? And because of that, they form this lens in terms of how everything around them should look and feel, right? And when it's not according to that ideal, they shame them, right? They project a lot of negativity, right? So I think it's important that the outer world that we live in is a reflection of our inner world, right? If we constantly find ourselves judging other people really badly, if we constantly find, you know, finding ourselves being that, you know, toxic friend or partner, whoever, then we really need to see which part of our inner self is actually projecting all the hate out into the world, right? You know, and so it is important for us to think about this, right? And, you know, imagine living in a world where every one of us could encourage each one to be the best that we all can be. Imagine what a beautiful, harmonious, peaceful place it would be, right? So I think it would then focus and shift us towards spending more time on finding solutions to move beautiful humanity forward instead of creating all these needless problems and a whole lot of drama for ourselves and also for the people around us.
So in conclusion, getting free from the power of our unconscious assumptions takes practice and persistence. Our brains are always assuming, so we have many opportunities to practice every day. And with practice, we slowly develop awareness of our assumptions and the power to choose how we relate to them.
Absolutely.
So instead of making assumptions, be genuinely curious, ask questions, lots of them, even if this means finding out a truth that might be painful to hear.
Yeah. So, you know, we hope that this episode helped you in your journey of introspection. I think, you know, it definitely helped me as well. You know, as we were talking about this, it made me reflect about, you know, a lot of, you know, the things, the assumptions that I naturally tend to also go into as well. You know, so we hope this helped you. And, you know, we would like to invite you to really take, you know, a moment or two to really think about and reflect upon the assumptions, the default, you know, thinking patterns and habits in your life, and share with us, you know, your insights from this episode. If you find this beneficial, spread it around, you know, share it with your loved ones as well. So don't forget to also join and follow our Instagram community, the Good Life _ podcast, where you will get latest episode releases and also amazing quotes to motivate you on a daily basis, you guys. So thank you once again. You know, we truly appreciate your time and your energy and listening to the episode week after week. And we can't wait for you to listen to the next soulful episode. So in the meantime, take care, be bold, be beautiful, and stay the amazing you that you are. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.